welcome to episode 10 of Pennies in the Well. I am your host, Saturn, and I will be skipping the light fandango with you this evening. Well, okay, for me it's afternoon, for you it could be morning, evening, it could be, summer solstice, or winter solstice if you're down in the southern half of the world. And a merry, merry midsummer to everyone. Today for me is June 20th of 2010, and last night I had the second of two midsummer, or Litha if you prefer, festivals. The Friday night one I was leading, and last night I got to take part in and enjoy, so that was fabulous. And of course, the intro song that you heard is Pennies in the Well by Meredith Luce. Just like to give her a shout out every now and again for that beautiful piece of music she's letting me use as my intro. And I guess that means it's time to skip right into all kinds of wonderful things. So tonight's episode, obviously, going to start with some of the things that I have learned in the last couple of weeks. And then we'll take a little break and we will have a nice discussion about Widdershins circles, which we didn't get to last episode because I got a little distracted by the whole dark versus light concept, which I hope came across helpfully. Anyhow, so we're actually going to do Widdershin circles this time. I swear, I promise, cross my heart, hope to die. Another little break, and then I think we might try talking about dark moons if there's time. Otherwise, we'll probably skip right to the end. And yeah, there we go. So thank you so much for downloading the show. I absolutely overwhelmed by everyone who's taken the time to listen and to comment and to share any thoughts with me. It's fabulous. I'm really glad that I can give you things to think about, different perspectives, and just to share this time with you is absolutely fantastic. So thank you for downloading the show. And to all the Podkin out there, Podkin love, much love coming to all of you. You are fabulous people. Every time I get a chance to talk to one of you, I was going to say in person, but let's face it, in person means via email. I'm just enchanted all over again with how honest and real all of you are. So Podkin love out and Pod listener love out, and maybe a little self-promotion-y type stuff. So I did mention in the last very strange episode, which was more of a extended segment separate on its own, was an Abysmal Witch episode, of which I had one email, which was a fabulous email, actually. From a lady who was giving a different perspective. That was really cool to hear, actually, that, what did she say? Her name's Renee, she's from Mountainside Pagan Podcast, so you can go check her out over there. And she said that it gave her an idea or a way of looking at how other rites and rituals are done. I'm paraphrasing, she said it nicer than I am. And hopefully she doesn't mind, but I'm reading a little bit of this out. She says she bases hers more on the Native American side, Cherokee. So she doesn't charge her candles, but her crystals, and she calls into Maka, who is Mother Earth and Father Sky, which is just lovely. And her, yeah, anyhow, you get the idea. The lovely thought was, it was really interesting to hear just another glimpse into how other people work. So yes, I have a sample size of one for how well the Abysmal Witch episode went over. I would love to hear more feedback, and it's okay for feedback to be negative. That's how I learn. I can take it. I'm a big girl. I really am. I'm about 5'7". I'm not short. Not short at all. A little short on sanity, but that's a whole different matter entirely. So I really would love to hear what works and what doesn't work. And on that note, I have also a blog out. It is the Abysmal Witch blog. Yes, I know I'm in love with this phrase, this non-titled title. Anyhow, you can find it at Abysmal Witch, ABYSMALWITCH .wordpress.com. And that is more of a sharing of, for me, very spiritual tending things followed by the very silly. So really it shouldn't come as any surprise given what you encounter here on Pennies. So that is up and running. You can find me on Facebook, both the group for Pennies in the Well. You can also find me, Saturn Dark Hope, on there as well if you actually are interested in talking to me directly. And of course, you can email me at penniesinthewell@gmail.com. And find me on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle and on iTunes. And so now I think I've covered the gamut of where I can be found. So let's move on into some of those lovely things that I was going to go into the lovely things that I've learned. And this sort of ties into it, except not. It was just a lovely experience. So it's my stepping stone into the things that I've learned. Let's start with a beautiful experience, which was listening, being at a concert of 2/3 of Tricky Pixie, or if you prefer, that went to a concert for S.J. Tucker and with Betsy Tinney playing the cello along with her. Either way you want to look at it, absolutely fabulous. The Wiggling Way, thanks to wonderful circumstances, happened to get them in town doing basically a private showing for about 50 people. Oh my God. I mean, her voice is fabulous, and in person, she just is the most expressive artist. It was an amazing, amazing night. So thank you to Mojo and Sparrow over at the Wiggling Way for organizing that. Thank you. And from that, I got myself some signed CDs. So I'm actually going to have my first contest. And it's going to be for one of those CDs. It's a Tricky Pixie CD signed by both Betsy Tinney and S.J. Tucker. And I'm going to run this contest. Let's see, it's June 20th now. So let us go. I'm going to do it for 2 months just because, well, that seems kind of fair because I know that it takes a while. You know, you download a podcast, but when do you actually get around to listening to it? I'm bad that way because usually I'm trying to catch up on one particular show, and so everything else languishes horribly while I try and catch up. So I want to give enough time, so we're going to say 2 months from today, so June 20th, July 20th, August 20th. So the first episode that I put out after August 20th will announce the winner of the S.J. Tucker and Betsy Tinney contest to win a Tricky Pixie CD. And to do that, what should I have you do? I mean, clearly you need to email me. So email me at penniesinthewell@gmail.com. And, you know, I don't have a good contest, you know, for kind of a skill testing question. So, okay, my skill testing question, which is not a skill testing question, is that in the email, tell me what your favorite part of celebrating deity is. So how you like to do it. Haha, that sounded kind of naughty. How do you like to do it when you are in the bedroom? No. Well, actually, you could be in the bedroom when you're celebrating or worshiping deity. So it doesn't have to be long. Just, you know, maybe where you like to do it, when you like to do it. You could say how you like to do it. And once again, my brain is going, this is naughty. This is very, very naughty. It's not. Anyway, I hope that made sense. Obviously, there is no right or wrong answer, which makes that kind of easy. So send in your email saying that you want to take part in the contest, and I will put your name in a hat. And approximately 2 months from today, I will be drawing a name out of a hat for a lucky winner of a mildly used CD. Mildly used because I actually had to open the packaging in order for them to sign it. So you do not receive it in a nice cellophane wrap, but you do get it with two very glorious signatures inside of it. So, hey, that seems to work from my point of view. So moving on from the contest, I can't believe I'm doing the first contest. Let us go into the things that I have learned. First, number one, and most important that I have learned in the last couple of weeks. Mead is good. Yes, that's my statement. Mead is good. Mead is actually fabulous. You get the right mead, it is to die for. I was lucky enough to be at a mead bottling party with Seraph, the Witch of Forest Grove, and it was this pomegranate raspberry mead that had already sat in the carboy long enough that it was ready to drink. And, oh my God. Wow. Yeah, for those who don't know, mead is alcohol made from honey. So just like wine is made from grapes, mead is made from honey. And fabulous, absolutely fabulous, darling. Yes, that was a summation of number one. Number two. Oh, well, actually, number two is kind of I meant to go beforehand and say this. So number two was more of a very practical type of learning type thing. And actually, a recommendation that I would make to people is I was listening to Media Astra Actera in her last episode, being episode 20. She's actually, I think she puts out on the 21st, so she's probably going to be putting out tomorrow a new episode. So it may not be the freshest episode when you hear this podcast, but episode 20 of hers had a really great discussion on intellect compared to emotion. And if you find my stuff interesting, I'm sure you'll find that episode really, really good. She does a wonderful job of summing things up. If I could learn to be that concise, these episodes would actually be only 30 to 40 minutes. I will never be that concise. I'm sorry. It's just my nature. And you can't always escape your nature, though you can try, and you can evolve it, and you can shape it. But your nature is kind of your basic nature. That's a topic for another day. So give that a listen, and then let's see, what do we have? The next thing on my list was not quite so perky, but it's one of those things that I learned was that when it comes right down to it, how security for me at home is a really, really important thing. It was one of those, I think I've mentioned before that there is some crazy kind of issuey stuff going on. Basically, a neighbor complained to the city about that I did work in my apartment without a permit. Not true, but the previous owners may have done so without a permit, and I may be screwed. But that's a whole different topic. So there's been some craziness, and it's not a huge deal. It's totally manageable, and I can take care of what it is. But just having that happen, there's been additions to the story, which is why it's still a current issue. Really makes me aware of how much my peace of mind is tied into the security of my home. So having all this craziness goes on actually just disturbs how I feel at home, but disturbs the rest of my life as well. There's a lot of things that can go on, and they may make me grumpy or gripey or whatever the hell, but it doesn't actually disturb my core being so that I can still sail gracefully through the rest of living. This one threatens one of my core stable areas, or one of the things that I need to have stable in order to be happy and comfortable. And thus, it makes me very jittery and very nervous. So I have to keep reminding myself that when it comes right down to it, yes, I can absolutely manage the fallout from this. It's not going to be a big deal. And it hasn't harmed my home. It doesn't threaten anything long term. It's an illusion that's causing me, and it's my own personally created illusion that's causing me such angst because, of course, I'm picturing the worst and I'm making the worst more. The worst? The worst. Whatever. Much more worse. Suddenly, there's way too many worse in that whole statement. Anyway, I'm making things worse in my own head than they actually are. And that's just silly, right? But the fact is, it doesn't matter that I say it's just silly. Emotionally, I'm still there because emotionally, I still feel threatened. So it's a tricky little world, or conundrum, or whatever the heck you want to call it. And I'm still working on it. Alas and alack. And that ties into the next point, which was I spent a fabulous day on Thursday. That was the day the building inspector came in for the second time. Because he didn't take measurements that he wanted to take on the first time. So, he's back. I take a day off work. Because you know what? I can get my car taken care of, which needed some work done on it. So, I got the car done, and the guy came in, and there were other people that had to have access to the building, so I let them in. I did my property taxes. I did all my filing paperwork. I cleaned up my 2,500 unread email. Didn't read it all, but I cleaned it up. I did every niggly little thing that you put off because you just don't want to do it yet. I did it all in one day. I went for 12 hours basically straight of just getting shit done, and it was fabulous. Oh my God. I highly recommend doing one of those days if you can, where you just get on the roll and you just nothing stops you. You just keep going and you get it all done. Because now I can sit here and go, wow. I mean, I still have a teeny little list, a couple things that come up since, things I still have to do. But the high majority are done and gone, and it's a fabulous thing. And oh, it's so much better. I know there's a lot of people out there who are much better than I am in keeping on top of these things, who don't let themselves get backlogged into it. Oh my God, that's so horrible, overwhelming state of it's too much to do, so I can't even do one thing. No, most people aren't like that. At least I hope so. But for those of you who are like that and are like me, well, this particular day worked for me where I got it all done in once. And if you get the chance and it does work for you, oh, what a lovely feeling. It's just fabulous. It's like going to your own. I took a day off work so I could work on my own world. But the trick was that it all had to be things that I was putting off. Couldn't be cleaning, because that would have been avoiding. It had to be all of these nitpicky things. So, yeah, highly recommend it if you get the opportunity. But the interesting part was that because of this underlying home issue thing, taking care of all that stuff, while it made me feel really good on one side, didn't help with the issue on the other, because when it comes right down to it, when you have the issue, anything that you do that's sideways to it, or that you try to use as a, like, pretending that this is a surface thing that could be fixed, right? So I'm disturbed about my home, so I'll clean up other things in my home to make myself feel better. Well, you know, it works to a point. It does feel good to have it all cleaned out, but it still doesn't address the actual underlying issue. And so every time that you try and do something that isn't actually part of the underlying issue, and you do that thing to try and make the underlying issue go away, it's not usually going to work, because you haven't actually dealt with the underlying issue, which is where I am now. Still more than a little angsty, but, well, some things can't be dealt with the head. They have to be dealt with the heart, and we're working on it, and I'm going to get there. So those are the glorious, wonderful, fun things that I have been learning for the last couple of weeks. And, yeah, there you go. That's my intro. Other than that, things have been doing pretty well. Yeah, life's pretty funky. Good things happening around and about for a lot of people. A lot of change this year, though. 2010 really seems to be the year of change. And I'm going to stop babbling now, because this seems like I had this, you know, relatively short-ish, for me, intro. And instead of letting it be short, it's like I'm trying to sabotage myself and make it even longer. Oh my God. Okay, so we're going to head into our first break, and in that break we are going to listen to, should come as no surprise, a Tricky Pixie song. Given that I'm doing the contest, it only seems to make sense. So we're going to have a little listen to Taglio off of their first album, Myth Creance. I hope you enjoy, and I'll see you on the other side.
Live-limbed boys with secrets in your eyes, come and dance where you'll be understood. Dancing maid, leave your golden ball forgotten in the dark of the wood. Moon and moor and fire and fen, we hunt in the night for a song. Black hooves flashing as the flames fly high, you will know us well by the dawn. If you dare, try the tune, sing along. Wiry gypsy boy, take my hand, and you'll not be found come morning. Sham to splendor and back again, where the boot black hooves are shining. Once and again, round the leaping fire, there's a secret song for gold. Offer sweet mutton, I'm not sure. Gazelle is Taglio. Do we kiss like poets imagine they do, twixt the arms of the dusk and the dawn? By the green you shall know us, and by the black hooves whirling round with your heart in pavon. We are drawn to your leaping fire, and you feast your mind on our song. Splash in the leaping light, ere the rising of the sun we are gone. One or two of your number come along. Wiry gypsy boy, take my hand, and you'll not be found come morning. Sham to splendor and back again, where the boot black hooves are shining. Once and again, run the leaping fire, there's a secret song. A sweet mutton and not your arm. Better hope that you're dancing with Taglio. Better pray the gazelle is Taglio. happy pound. The lass in green who caught our Alex eye must have whisked him away without a sound. Why, young Bess danced like a fairy fawn, not a trace, and you fear she is dead. Bold gazelle, you wear the green just so, and will dance you right out of your head. Leave behind not a soul drop of red. Bringers of grace and tenders of fire, we dance to the beat of your drum. Fret ye not about the boot black boots in the corner of your eye. Oh, it must have been the rum just as well not to think of the feast that's to come, saving Cortaglio. With a hunger we come. Wiry gypsy boy, take my hand and you'll not be found come morning. Sham to splendor and back again where the boot black hooves are shining. Once and again on the leaping fire is a secret sample call. Off a sweet mutton and not your hand. Better hope that you're dancing with Taglio. Better pray the gazelle is Taglio. Better hope that his name is Taglio. 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 Taglio.
Hi, this is Velma Nightshade from Witches Brew Haha, inviting you to join me each week as I discuss all things witchy. Witches Brew Haha reaches from the controversial topics to the ridiculous reality that being a modern witch entails. From book reviews to hot-button pagan news, from stone and herb studies to practical magic tips and advice, Witches Brew Haha is a bewitching blend of the best a magical life has to offer. Find it on iTunes or at witchesbrewhaha.com. And remember, never be afraid to think outside the cauldron. Blessed be.
And welcome back to episode 10 of Pennies in the Well. That was a promo from Velma Nightshade over at Witches Brew Haha, a fantastic podcast. Check her out. And of course, Taglio by Tricky Pixie. I hope you enjoyed. And remember to send me an email with some aspect of how you like to celebrate deity in the email, and put your name in for winning a signed copy of Tricky Pixie, signed by S.J. Tucker and Betsy Dinney. So let's get into our Dark Moon. Oh, well, I was going to say Dark Moon workings. Whoops. I'm supposed to be doing Witters in Circles. So for those of you who aren't actually, you know, Wiccan and are sitting there going, what the hell is she talking about with circles? Let's address that little question first. So as a witch, no, as a Wiccan, I practice to often, not always, in what is called a magical circle. It is a creation of energy based upon will and intent that creates a sacred space that both contains the working that is done and the energies that are raised for a magical purpose. It also protects from outside influences, and it creates a space that's outside of time and space. So kind of lifts us out of the mundane realm already to the other realms in order to better facilitate working with them. And there's more that I could be said about it, but that in an essence for me, because this is my personal opinion, is a magical circle, and that's why we cast them. Now, typically for those who are Wiccan, they work Deisol, which is D-E-O-I-S-I-L. And all that really means is sunwise. I think Deisol is an old word for sunwise, and sunwise is clockwise. So going clockwise around the circle is how we typically go. And there are people who would say, that's it, that's how you do it. You do not go the other way. Or if you go the other way, so counterclockwise, that is only something that is to be done on Samhain or Halloween. It is only done when you are working with the ancestors. And working on that particular night. Well, I cry ha on that one. I think it can be done in a lot of times, but As with everything, there is a right time and place and method to do it, and there are wrong times and places and methods for doing it. So I'm going to talk about Wittershin circles. And for those who are not magical and or who are not Wiccan and are listening to this, let me point out a couple of things. One is that magical circles are certainly not exclusive to Wiccans. They did not originate, I think, with us, and we are not the only ones who do them. I just talk from a Wiccan perspective because that's what I am. So that's something to keep in mind. And I like to think that the underlying concepts that go into a Wittershin circle are of use for anyone, potentially. We'll see how that goes. You'll have to let me know, actually, because I know that this works from a witchy Wiccan point of view, but from those listening who are not of that persuasion, suddenly it's almost kind of naughty again. Maybe it's my naughty night. Naughty number 10. Naughty episode number 10. Anyhow, for those who are not Wiccan or witches, I'd be curious to see, or to hear, I guess, what you think of this, if there was meaning that you could take from it for your own workings. So, let's get into the fun times of working in a Wittershin's circle. And I don't think I've actually said it yet, so to clarify, a Wittershin circle is simply a magical circle, well, not simply, but in part, a magical circle that is cast counterclockwise. Where is the source of the Wittershin's word? You know what? I didn't look it up ahead of time before I get started, because I'm all about the practical, not the scholarly. So I guess Google would be your friend if you want to know that part of it, because I'm going to go into the very practical experience of what it's actually like and when you would use it. Wittershin circles are, how to start into this? Okay, I've already kind of said basically what it is, and I've said what a magical circle is. So before I actually get into some of the practicalities of it, I'm actually going to do some cautions. I know that may seem a bit strange, but you know what? Some of the things that we do in the world can cause harm and or distress, particularly to ourselves. And Wittershin circles is one of those things that can really play a number on your own psyche, because it's kind of like going to therapy, except that you don't have a therapist there looking after you. So you have the potential, because Wittershin circles, and I will get more into this, are very much about inward seeking, that you could end up discovering things that you didn't know were there. Has happened to me, and ended up in therapy for 10 years for it. Now, was that ultimately a good thing? Yes. But you want to be prepared for what you're getting into if you're actually going to work with these energies rather than just listen to me talk about them. So that's why I have cautions. My first caution, now I actually have some notes that I did a little course at the Gathering, which is a local festival, several years ago. So I actually have notes, believe it or not, for this episode. And I'm going to try and go and keep them in mind a little bit, just to make sure that I get everything covered that I wanted to. So the cautions are: be firmly grounded and knowledgeable and experienced with your DSL circles before you start working Wittershins. So what do I mean by that? I mean, know your shit before you start changing it up. My coven and I, when we got started into this, because it seemed like the smart and right and appropriate thing to do in our world, because we work very much on a balanced aspect. We work light and dark, male, female, balance, balance, balance everywhere. And it only made sense to us that if we were doing, you know, we actually started working on dark moons pretty regularly. And what I mean by a dark moon is the polar opposite of the full moon. For me, personally, a new moon, even though this isn't the technical definition, is the point at which the crescent starts to appear. So the dark moon is the 3 days where the moon is not visible, when it is completely void of light. That, for me, is a dark moon. And anyway, that definition is now done, so I will let it go. So the dark moons, we were actually working with them already. We would get together and we would do full moons, and we still do, and dark moons. But at the time, we were doing DSL circles, so clockwise circles, as part of our ritual work for the dark moons. And it was a bit strange. Didn't feel quite right. So we started working Wittershins. And that's how we got started into it. And I have to say that is really the way to go. know your magic first. Know yourself to some degree first. Know what the hell you're doing with magic and with energy, period, before you start delving deeper into your own inner psyche and or working into the kind of these deeper, darker aspects that the Widdershin Circle can bring out. So that is my big ass caution for you. If you are going, ooh, 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 I like the dark and the scary and it's cool and I just want to jump right into it because I'm goth to the nth degree and I want to go there. You know what? No. Stop right there. If you're doing it because it sounds cool and fun, that is not the reason to enter into a Widdershin Circle. It should be approached with respect and, respect. Respect, and caution. Because, as I said, there are things that, the experiences you can have during it that if you're not prepared for or have a good support system around you for it, isn't healthy. So you're hereby duly warned. And the reason that I was going a little into the goth mocking, and this is not to actually mock goth as it is, because I have those tendencies. If you saw my closet, yes, you wouldn't be surprised. And not to mention my pictures from university. Yeah, I never quite got over that phase completely. My hair still half dyed black. I will always be a little bit goth at heart. But it's that idea of it's just because it's cool and just because it's of the darkness that I want to do it. That is not a reason to enter into this. This is the reason to enter into doing Widdershin Circles is because you want to take your magical workings to a deeper level. You want to take things to a more personal level. Those are reasons to get involved into it, not because it sounds cool. Because, well, it's just work of a different nature. It's not like it is dramatically different and yet not from your JSL circles. It's still casting a circle. It's still working with the energies. So that's my caution. Okay. Caution number two, or at least guideline number two, is to take stock of yourself before and after the Widdershin's ritual so that you can be prepared and notice any changes that may have resulted. Lately my coven and I, and we've been working with Sarah to some degree, or a fair degree, on this, have been working very intently on dark moons, and the changes are interesting and rapid as to what's going on. I can't unfortunately talk about what we're doing, but I can say that the impact is there. So because Widdershin Circles, and I'll kind of get into why in a bit, take you deeper inside of yourself in a lot of times, a lot of cases, you want to be aware of who you are and notice the changes that are happening so that you're not caught unaware, so that you're not tripped up later by something that you hadn't realized had been triggered, perhaps, or brought to the surface while you're doing the Widdershin Circle. So number three was, know that this is an inward path that can expose and lay wide open hidden and repressed parts of the self that you may not be prepared to face. Got that? Yeah. In other words, it could show you your shadow self when you're not ready for it, and that can be scary as shit. So careful. And last one, and I think a highly important one, never work only with dark moon or Widdershin's energy. Always balance it with full moon and deusal workings, and particularly important over an extended period of time. We are more naturally drawn to the light as human beings, I believe. When you look at our senses, I think I talked about this last episode, that, our senses are very much geared towards light. So we're more comfortable in it. Which means that we can work deusal circles till the cows come home and won't have a problem. Working only Widdershin circles runs several risks, such as, becoming unbalanced, period. Too much working in the dark, you can lose your center. And especially since you're working on your center when you're doing Widdershin circles, so it can become truly problematic. And yeah. I'm going to leave it at that just because, and I actually remembered that I had this lovely quote. I know that the last episode, not the Abysmal Witch, but the one before, when I was talking about darkness, I also did a large quote from Dark Moon Mysteries by Timothy Roderick. And I have in my notes here another quote for you. I don't remember if it was part of the one I read last time, but it doesn't matter because this is just such a fabulous quote about the shadow. And it is, "Tell me this, when you stand in sunlight and you see your shadow, do you fear its presence? Of course you do not. Yet the shadow is the very likeness of you in an image of darkness. You must learn to dance with your shadow as you have learned to dance with the sunlight." So it's a lovely quote and kind of gives a nice idea of why we would want to work with Widdershins after all those scary little cautions that I had going on. Basically, the cautions boil down to don't be stupid, keep your world balanced, and know your shit before you start doing weird and funky things that are outside of your skill ability. So, some practicalities of it, or from our point of view, these are not set in stone. Well, aside from the first one, which is when you're casting a Widdershin circle, you gotta go Widdershins. It's kind of a, from a very practical aspect, for those who don't cast circles, you actually create a boundary of energy, typically by using a magical tool and or your finger, and walking around the space that you're making sacred in a circle and drawing that boundary of energy along with you to create literally a circle around you of energy. So that's what casting a circle is walking that line and drawing that boundary of energy. So again, casting Widdershins means that you're going the opposite direction. You're going Widdershins. Has some different feelings associated with it, and we'll get back to that. So the other thing that we have tended to do when we're doing Widdershin circles, we often start in the west. We don't always. Sometimes we start in the north, but in my coven, oh, and I don't know if I ever mentioned, but my coven's name is Arendelle. So if I mention that in passing, that's who I'm talking about. So we tend to start in the west, but we will also start in the north sometimes. So starting in the west, you can think of that as a place of inner emotions and the inner quest, and that's why we start there as a concept. But if you work in the north, there's the loss and thus finding of yourself, and there's the union with divine and all nature. Excuse me, I've been fighting a cold, so my voice is apparently going. God, this is horrible. So hopefully I will make it through this episode. Maybe it'll force me to talk less. Anyhow, so that's you can start in the west or the north. And as a rule of thumb, my coven tends to close the circle itself. So taking down the circle, we'll often do things a day of soul. Just there's a nice, you know, when you're working in a circle environment, you do things in certain steps and you tend to do them all working in the same direction. So when you're working a normal day of soul circle, you do everything in that direction. So you would cast your circle that way. You would bless the space with the elements by walking in the same direction. You would cast your quarters in the same direction. Like everything's done moving in one direction. So by finishing the circle and taking it down by working the opposite direction, all of that flow of energy, it kind of disrupts it a little and helps to disperse the energy and break it up. So we actually also finish our day of soul circles by closing down, going Widdershins. And as a statement, it doesn't feel the same. So just be prepared for that. If you're doing a Widdershin circle and you're really used to your day of soul circles, it doesn't feel the same. And that's okay. It's not supposed to. Okay. So some ideas around it. Widdershin circle, it's the same as any day of soul circle in that it's a creation of sacred space and one that creates a veil between its own reality and the other realities. I say its own reality because the circle space is no longer part of mundane reality. When you cast it and you bless it and you consecrate it and you invoke elementals or the watchtowers or your deities to it, you have changed that space from something that is mundane into something very profound. And that change makes it a different reality, right? The fun part about circles is that they also, if you think about it a certain way, that because you're like a bubble outside of space and time, that the outside of your bubble therefore touches all spaces and all time. Mahaha. Which is why it becomes so much easier to contact deities and other beings, because you're no longer so firmly tied to mundane reality. Okay. This is how I describe things about 6-7 years ago when I was doing this course. Some of it I might change now, but we'll see. I said that a Widdershin circle is very different from a Deusil circle in that its energies are the withdrawn dark energies of the earth. Now, I would say that they're not necessarily the dark energies of the earth, but they are withdrawn dark energies. There's something silent about them. This would be, you know, the space between the stars or the darkness within caves. There's just something different about it. It's not created by a line of blue fire, which is how usually you visualize creating a Deusil circle, or a circle of glowing energy, but rather you can grow it into place, or it's formed from a veil of energy fabric that's drawn around the circle very similarly to casting it. So this was how we were describing our experience of it to that point. You can oftentimes use energy that's from outside of yourself and that is formed outside. The energy is classic moment in podcasting. Articulation never abounded like it did in that moment. Okay, so you can form the circle by the using your will and from energy that is directed through your body to the circle, but also from outside of. I said we call and form the circle into being rather than creating it, which was how I've often experienced Widdershin circles. You can use your own energy to create a Widdershin circle, but when you're first doing them in particular, we really found that they would form by the direction of your will, but were not cast into place by your will, which I know is a very strange thing. Go out, give it a shot, and tell me what your experiences of it are, because maybe it's very different from mine. Okay. The Widdershin circle draws your focus inward, and as such, it may feel as though it's drawing things to you. That is typically, well, it can happen. Things can be drawn to you. It feels that way, and some of that is because you will get attention. Deusil circles that are well done magically will draw attention from beings from other planes. They're usually benign about it, and honestly, I think that those type of circles happen enough that it doesn't draw too much attention. But when you do a Widdershin circle, there is certainly a stirring of, kind of thing from creatures around. They're not evil creatures. We're back to that good, evil, dark, light thing. But they may be of darkness and maybe spooky. But they'll be drawn to it just kind of with a curiosity of, what the heck's going on? This is different. This is interesting. And they're just naturally curious creatures. Remember, it is a circle. It is a protective barrier. They can't actually come in. Ah, yes. The barrier itself, we found, Deusil circle tends to be very, very sharp. Widdershin's tends to be squishy. That doesn't sound very reassuring. But we didn't find it had the sharp inside-outside edge. And perhaps, and this is conjecture on our part, that when you cast a Deusil circle, the inside edge is very sharp and that the outside edge is perhaps more diffuse, right? As if it's a solid spot and then it, as it goes outwards from that spot, its thickness starts to break up. Okay, and our other conjecture was in reverse. Perhaps a Widdershin circle is sharp on the very outside and then like solid is what I mean by sharp and comes to a distinct finish. But as it moves towards you, because it's not like it's, you know, a millimeter thin, the circle wall itself has depth and width to it. So as it comes inwards to the circle, that perhaps that same effect of loosening up and general dispersal happens on the way. From an outside to inwards perspective. So when you're standing inside the circle, it kind of feels squishy. Like, because it doesn't feel necessarily sharp and solid in the way that, you know, if you're familiar with Deusil circles, you would think. And again, all of this has been our personal experiences, and your worldview and your Widdershin circle may vary. God, I love YWMV. It just covers so many things. It's amazing how many W's there are. So, but the other reason that you may find that things are coming towards you or that you're noticing things, part of this can become you're now looking towards your own inner self. And some of what we have on the inside, we like to project to the outside. So that can be a very funky thing about Wittersund circles. So you, yes, my next note was, you are just as safe from creatures not you inside a Wittersund circle as you are when you are in a Daedal circle. You are far more vulnerable to creatures formed from you when in a Wittersund circle, for you are drawing them directly into awareness and being. So again, Wittersund circles are about self-exploration and about going deep within, and not solely, but largely so. And thus, aspects of ourself that we carry within ourselves that we reject and deny can actually manifest as separate entities. The nice part about being in the Wittersund circle is if you've done it well, you can guarantee that there's nothing from outside except for what you've invited in, which if you haven't invited anything in, means that whatever's in there with you is you. Oh, wow. Totally flashing on Empire Strikes Back. Yes, I know. I'm a geek. And in Empire Strikes Back, when Luke is on Dagobah and Yoda sends him into the cave and the whole, you know, what's in the cave, only what you take with you, and then he encounters Darth Vader and, you know, just lops off his head, sees his own face inside the mask. So, same deal. What's inside the Wittersund circle is only what you take with you or what you invite in afterwards. So there's a lot to keep in mind with that one. If you're working Wittersund circles and you're encountering things, take a deep breath. Don't panic. Think about whether it could be anything from outside. And if not, then you're looking at an aspect of yourself, and think about showing it, or feel about showing it, the care and love and attention that you would love to receive. All right, and my last point on it, and kind of into that whole, it's mostly used for self-personal exploration, is that it's also fantastic for working with ancestors. Our ancestors seem to like to be reached, and this has been my personal experience again, by going inwards through blood and bone. Our blood and our bone is our connection with our physical ancestors, and you know what? Our blood and our bone is inside of ourselves. If you take the outer limits of yourself as perhaps being the outer range of your energy centers that are outside your physical body. Anyhow, however you want to view it, your blood and your bones are part of you. And that's a fantastic way to connect with ancestors. So I found that Wittersund circles really work well for reaching downwards. Into the underworld, and Daedal's circles work very well for going upwards to the deity world. Not that either one is exclusively separated from the other, just that as a tendency, this works particularly well. So very good for contacting the ancestors down, both through connecting with the underworld and through connecting through your own physical being with them. So there was an interesting set of concepts put forward by Timothy Roderick in his book. Now, Dark Moon Mysteries is very much about working Wittersund circles. His was the first time that I actually read it in a book. I think we've been practicing that way for about 2 years when I found that when his book came out. So, pretty awesome. And my time could be completely off on things. But anyway, I know we've been doing it ourselves when I found the book, and it was great to actually read someone else's take on it. One of the things that he listed, I'm sure most of you are aware with the Witch's Pyramid, the Sphinx, has something to do with the Sphinx or the Magician, blah, blah, blah. It's got a variety of titles, none of which ever stick in my head. But they're basically the four powers, to dare, to will, to know, and to be silent. And Timothy Roderick put forward Wittersund's equivalents of this. So, and then I think I'll go into these more in another day, but just to give you an idea of them. So in the West, so I'm going to go backwards, starting in the West, where the normal version is to dare. For the West, it's to accept. For the South, it's normally to will. And for working Wittersunds, it's to surrender. For the East, it's to know. And in Wittersunds, to wonder. For the North, it's to be silent, and in Wittersunds, it's to resonate. So we'll go into those another night, because otherwise this is going to go on far, far, far too long. In fact, I think I might just have some final comments on Wittershin stuff and then go into a break. So, well, that was a really brief yet long overview of Wittershin circles and what it is that we do with them. We do a lot of ancestral working, and we've done a lot of personal inner working, and have found that there is a beauty and a harmony to working the Wittershin circles in addition to the Deosol. As I said, we typically do it on dark moons. You could do a Wittershin circle at any point, but again, there are advantages and amplified strengths to doing it at certain times. The energy of a Wittershin circle resonates fantastically with a dark moon, also with sound, for the same reason that the world itself is better aspected to flow in that direction, which sounds really kind of hokey, and yet I'm going to stick by that statement. So there you go. That's Wittershin circles in a nutshell. For those of you who don't actually cast circle, I'd be really curious to know if there's stuff that you got out of this. Whether or not you actually cast a circle Wittershins, I think there's still meaning to be had in it all. Maybe it's just a different way of thinking things, of remembering that there are always two directions to go, and one was outwards and one is inwards, and there are different ways of accessing that inwards draw. And it's often as simple as reversing the way that we normally do something. And an interesting thought to boil it down to. So with that, and before I ramble myself into nonsensicalness, I'm going to take a short little break and then come back and maybe talk about dark moons for a few minutes and close it out. So on this break, I'm going to actually play a little bit of a chant. Now, when I'd first been thinking about doing Pennies in the Well, I wanted to do a kind of regular segment breaks with different things in them. And one of the things I wanted to put in was chants. And then I was listening to the Wiggly and Way as I was getting everything set up and went, he's doing Chant of the Month. So, you know, I was going to go, you know what? Mojo is at the Wiggly and Way, is doing a lovely job of the Chant of the Month. Do I really need to do it too? You know what? In my heart, yes, I want to do it. I want to share a chance with you at least every now and again when it seems appropriate. So I'm going to follow in his great footsteps, and I'm going to add a few chants for you here and there. Today's chant is called, I guess you could call it Infinite Sun. The whole phrase is, we are one with the Infinite Sun forever and ever and ever. I found it on what used to be Panpipe's Pagan Chant of the Month. The archive is still up in places. You can Google it and find it. It was a great source, and it is still a great source, of a variety of different chants. He even included musical clips so that you could listen to it for how to actually play the chant or sing the chant, which is fabulous. And I found this one several years ago and I've always liked it. And we happened to use it at the summer solstice that I did on Friday. So it seemed an apropos time to share it with other people, because I think sharing chants is wonderful. Chants are one of the great ways of raising energy in a circle, and I highly recommend them to other people. So I'm going to play that chant, which is really brief, do another promo, and I will see you back on the other side. We are one with the infinite sun, forever and ever and ever. We are one with the infinite sun, forever and ever and ever. We are one with the infinite sun, forever and ever and ever. We are one with the infinite sun, forever and ever and ever. We are one with the infinite sun, forever and ever and ever.
Thank you.
welcome back to episode 10 of Pennies in the Well. I hope you enjoyed my very slow, I hadn't realized how slow I'd recorded that, version of Infinite Sun, which is actually a Native American song, or at least that's what the website says. It is beautiful and fantastic for really slowing down and resonating with that idea, which is something I could... I talked about briefly on the abysmalwitch.wordpress.com blog. So you could actually check out my brief little meanderings there about it. And then we had a nice promo from Standing Stone and Garden Gate with Junie and Brennan. So go check them out. Another fabulous podcast. And I am going to talk very, very briefly about Dark Moons. But before I do, in honor of the fact that this is episode 10. Yes. Oh my God. Double digits. I'd say, oh, how did I get there? But the answer is clearly... very simple. I talked a lot, and I talked a lot in a very short period of time. So thank you all again for downloading the show and for listening, and I really would love to hear any comments you have to share, good or bad. I can take it. I'm a big girl. And I do love to hear things that you would be interested in learning about as well. I do have a nice, happy, long list to keep me entertained, but, you know, always happy to add in extra things and would love to answer any questions you may have about some of the stuff that I've already talked about or other thoughts that you've had. So again, in honor of episode 10, I'm actually going to read chapter 10 from Aleister Crowley's The Book of Lies, which, if you're in the right headspace, it is a fascinating book. I'm sure the Thelemics would tell you many, many things about it, which I cannot do. All I can say is that when working on really interesting and deep esoteric stuff and my mind is open and my spirit is open and willing to look at things from a different perspective, this book has actually been instrumental in kind of making me think about things in a slightly different way. So I'm going to read chapter 10, which just happens to be the chapter that, you know, well, chapter 10, episode 10 goes together. Does it make a lot of sense? Meh, not necessarily. So ride the wave, and I hope you enjoy what some may simply consider rather strange poetry. So chapter 10 is entitled Windlestraws, and I have no idea why. The abyss of hallucinations has law and reason. But in truth, there is no bond between the toys of the gods. This reason and law is the bond of the great lie. Truth, 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 crieth the lord of the abyss of hallucinations. There is no silence in that abyss, for all that men call silence is its speech. This abyss is also called hell and the many. Its name is consciousness and the universe among men. But that... which neither is silent nor speaks, rejoices therein. So, we are in our final segment of episode 10 of Pennies in the Well, and I'm going to give just kind of finish off the notes that I had on Dark Moon Circles. Now, I didn't get into the elemental stuff, and I'm not going to get into the elemental stuff. We're going to leave all of that for another day. But for the Dark Moon things, here are some final notes that I had that you may find interesting if you are already working with Dark Moons or if you want to give it a try. Remember, practice safe, safe circling. Okay, so the first point that I had is that the Dark Moon is a time of apparent physical rest. It is a time for contemplation, reflection, and inward workings. When you think about it, there is an analogy with the physical life aspect. The full moon... well, grants us a lot of light. You can still do things at night. If you've ever been out camping and it's a dark moon, it is so much darker than when there's a full moon or even a partial moon. It's just like, oh my God, I can't see anything. All you have to see by is starlight, which means that your other senses really have to come to the fore and help you out. And the same's kind of the same when you're working in a dark moon ritual. Our personal ghosts, hauntings, and shadow selves, our animus anima, are most open to contact and communication from our conscious selves during a dark moon. So there is a list of things to work on when you're working in a dark moon. And it's also an idea of, you know, if you've got something that's really troubling you and the direct approach isn't working, consider doing a dark moon working where you take the non-direct, indirect approach and invite the answer to come visit you. when doing a lot of these kind of the dark moons, the widdershins, the inward workings, a lot of these things require us to put down our aggressive daylight, go after it and get it done attitude, put it all to the side and simply relax and invite the answer, the solution, the problem, the what have you, the issue to come and visit. It won't be compelled a lot of times. A lot of times you just have to invite and wait until you're ready to receive it, which is usually what the tricky part is, this whole cycle thing. Okay, the powers of our gods are revealed through our ourselves and are often those aspects we find hardest to reconcile ourselves to. So by that, you know, we as pagans tend, a lot of us, not everybody, but a lot of us work with specific deities. And even those who work with, say, the great goddess of earth, and there's no name perhaps attached to it, there's a whole dark side to pretty much every form of deity going. Either it's fully integrated into the infinite deity that simply contains all the universe within it, or is in the specifics of the goddess who will both kill and create. It doesn't really matter. The point is that it is always there, both aspects. And that just as we have problems facing shadows within ourselves, it can be difficult to face the dark aspects of our own deities. And this can be a good time to do so. Confrontation, exploration, and resolution of aspects of our shadow selves brings us into clearer and stronger balance with ourselves. It is a healing process. Yes, a healing process. And anyone who's ever hurt pretty much anything, which has got to be most of us on the planet, hard to imagine that you could get through life without causing some kind of pain and damage to yourself. Anyhow, even if it's just as simple as a blister or a cut finger, it takes time to heal. There is no instant solution. And as a healing process, these things take time. There is no instant boom solution. So again, be careful if you decide to go down this road, because once you've started, it's really kind of difficult to stop. You can't just go, I want off the ride. Oh, and I've so done that. I've so been on a ride and wanted off so bad. And the bastard went longer, gave us an extra long ride. Oh, bastard. Evil. Some people are just evil. Anyhow, it is a healing process. So take your time with it and recognize that if you are going to go down that road, once you start, you know, it's a little difficult to get yourself off of it. So be prepared that it could be a long journey, and that the whole point is to have a journey and to see where it's going to take you and the interesting things along the way. It's not necessarily the end result, but how you get there that matters. Huh, we've all heard that one before. Remember that it is not enough to discover and encounter the shadow. The healing comes from understanding, integration, and assimilation of it into your meta pattern, into the wholeness of who you are. Wow. Sometimes I read the things that I've written and go, well, you're not that stupid after all. So, that said it really rather well. Once you've met your fear, it isn't enough necessarily to just go, ah, that's my fear. You really actually have to then work with it and understand it and integrate it into the wholeness of who you are. If you've only seen it and then rejected it again, well, now you know the name of your shadow or one of them. That doesn't mean that you've integrated it. It doesn't mean that it's overcome. It still will control you ever so cheerfully as you've denied it. So that healing process is, it's the whole process. It's not just that initial confrontation. It is about the whole aspect of integration. And then my final comment was just that Dark Moon can be honored with a Widdershins or a Deicel Circle, depending on what approach is being taken. So even if you want to work Widdershins or on a Dark Moon and you're not comfortable with the Widdershin Circle, yeah, don't have to do one. Hell no. No, 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 no. You can go do Deicel Circle. Absolutely fine. Yep. Mm-hmm. We decided as a coven to change our practice, but again, we had been doing Dark Moons for a while at that point before we made the switch. So it works perfectly well. It'll work a little differently, but there's nothing wrong with that. And if you don't have the experience or a lot of circles to experience behind you, or are just not comfortable with the idea of doing it Widdershins, or you've tried Widdershins and gone, do a Deicel. Absolutely. You can still get a worth out of working on the Dark Moons. And you may not always want to work on a Dark Moon. This isn't something for everyone. I just wanted to make available for anyone who is interested the information and the experiences that I and my coven have had, as we kind of just went out and tried. Yeah, I like to leap without necessarily knowing where I'm going to end up. And my dear coven mates are so trusting that they follow me along over the edge. Don't call them lemmings. Really, they're much better than that. They actually tell me, no, don't go there. That would be silly. But still, they are fabulous, fabulous people. And I'm so grateful to be able to work with them and to have had all the experiences that we've had. Love you guys. Anyhow, so that's what our experiences have been, and we've enjoyed working on those times, and it may or may not work for you. I hope that this may have given you a little inspiration on some things that you might want to try out, or even just has been an interesting discussion on something you may or may not have thought about before. And I am happy to hear any comments from those who have done Widdershins or Dark Moons before and want to share what your perspective on it is. For the people who haven't and what you think of it, period. For the people who've never done any circle and are going, what the hell was she talking about? Let me know if it made sense and if it was worthwhile for you. So I would love to hear from you. Email me at penniesinthewell@gmail.com. Find me on Facebook. There's also the Facebook group, Pennies in the Well. And yeah, you can leave a comment on the other places. What do we got? Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle and iTunes. Ooh, yeah, it'd be cool to get rated on iTunes. No one's rated me yet. Be the first. Be the first. Stand out amongst the crowd. Be the first. Yeah. Do it. Suddenly I feel like, you know, one of those bad people on the side of the schoolyard going, do it. Come on. You know you want to. Come on. It'll be fun. Just one little taste. Just one little vote. What's one little vote going to do? So we're going to end the show with a Tricky Pixie song called Dryad's Promise. It is a beautiful, lovely song. I hope you enjoy. And don't forget to send me an email saying that you want in on the contest. Closing date will be August 20th of 2010. And okay, on that note, I'm going to leave you for the moment. Again, a wonderful midsummer to those in the Northern Hemisphere, a wonderful Yule to those in the Southern, and a merry time to all. Blessings of the deep and wild upon you. Merry part.
Ghost of a dryad haunts an old wooden schooner. She clings to the mainmast like mist in the trees, mourning his death after so many years. She weaves her grief into the breeze, singing glory, ocean wind, blow this ship back to the forested shore. These foamy green hills are but salt water desert, and I yearn to see woodland once more. Some nights at full moon, the sailors can see her, a misty gray figure glides silently past. But when the storms howl, you can hear her heart weeping, and see her blue glow round the mast, crying, blow, ocean storm, blow this ship back to the forested shore, for your wet whipping winds bring no life to my lost love, and I yearn to see woodland once more. Summer breezes remind pity's daughter of seasons and centuries spent with her pine, when sap of his heartwood ran warm with her laughter, her voice in his branches entwined, whispering, grow, sweet conifer, grow, reach for the sun, leave the green earth behind. Of princes, I never shall leave my white pine. On the deck of the schooner, surrounded by ocean, the towering mast stands so lifeless yet strong, and the ghost of the dryad, cool shade in his shadow, renews her promise alone. Singing, blow, you summer breeze, blow. You help me remember why I stay behind, though alone and adrift on this great leafless ocean. I still cannot leave.